When we last spoke with Congressman Tim Walberg, he was down in on the Rio Grande. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning. Good to be back with you. And it's good to be back in Michigan. But it was a great congressional delegation trip, probably one of the best I've ever been on for the amount of information we were able to pick up and have firsthand opportunity to see what's going on with our very disciplined, efficient, as well as compassionate Border Patrol individuals at the various three branches of Homeland Security down there. They do quite a job with a very difficult clientele to work with, and I'm talking about the illegals and the cartels, which makes it also very difficult for people who have true immigration opportunities and want to do it legally or are looking for asylum with legitimate asylum requests. So it was very, very helpful to see what's taking place right now and also see the improvement as a result of the administration's policies that have been implemented since May, and a significant decrease, about 90% of illegal crossings since that time because of things like MPP and the DNA testing of adults that are bringing so-called family minors across. It's quite a challenge, but our people probably do it better than any other country in the world.
What was your biggest takeaway there?
It will be a continuing challenge. The border wall will not stop everything. It's very clearly that what I've heard is a system that's being put in place, including electronics, cameras, human intelligence, basic common sense things like giving greater access to the border wall by our Border Patrol agents to be able to patrol that much more quickly to get to a spot where an alarm is set off or a picture has been taken of someone trying to breach that. And then the devices I saw at the border crossing, including x-ray of an entire bus. And when they did that, that very day we were there, they found inside of a diesel fuel tank another container that had been put in there that which could see at least on the x-ray where there were bricks inside of it, probably crystal meth or a heroin. And so the bus was pulled over. And then another bus with the same company coming south at almost the same time got there while we were there and watched it being pulled over. Most likely it had the bags of money on that bus going across. So the creativity of the cartels is just unbelievable. But the fact now that we take asylum seekers that have seemingly legitimate asylum claims and we go through a process and then we transport them back across the border where they will be in a refugee center south of Brownsville, Texas, for instance, where I was at, awaiting adjudication rather than being in the United States and doing the Flores decision, ultimately within 20 days or so, they have to be released into the interior of our country, most likely in many cases never to show up for their court date, and we've lost them in America. So those type of things have provided great improvements, but still, when I went to the spot where supposedly there were cages for human beings and children, that is not the case, not the case at all. And the care that's given, including three new arrivals, illegals, who were being brought in, were being given a physical to make sure that, number one, their health was understood. They would be taken care of humanely while they were there before ultimately, most likely in those three cases, shipped back across the border. So it was instructive for me to see, and it was a bit discouraging to think that the military budget is being held up, and which includes the dollars for the National Guard troops that are providing huge service to our Border Patrol agents, allowing them to be doing the jobs they're supposed to be doing, and then the humanitarian assistance will be carried on by the troops. So we'll see what happens, but I'm glad that I saw what I saw. We're still the greatest country on earth for humanitarian reasons, as well as many others. But it's good to be back in Michigan.
So what else is, what's coming up for you, Tim?
Well, I wish there were a lot of things. We got the USMCA. You and I have talked about that, the United States-Mexico-Canadian trade agreement that will replace NAFTA. That should have been done already. All of the sectors that are out there, agriculture, manufacturing, want it. Provisions have been put in for taking concern, interest about what goes on in Mexico, for instance, and taking care of benefits and work conditions for Mexican employees. It's not going to happen overnight, but the provisions are there. We have means by which we can look at whether or not Mexico is implementing those. But for Richard Trumka, for instance, of the AFL-CIO to say, I'm going to hold this thing up, it shows that his concern, I guess, is more for Mexican employees than U.S. employees and U.S. farmers and the like. So we hope it gets done, but so far Nancy Pelosi has not given any indication she's going to bring it up quickly. Most recent that I saw that she might consider bringing it up in December. That, in my mind, is too late. It ought to be done. It ought to be done already, but it certainly ought to come up before, I would think, the Thanksgiving recess. Get it done. And so with impeachment going on, and that's the only game in town, all the other things that could be going to our benefit, the benefit of our citizens, are being held back. The things that they talked about, completing health care reform, prescription drug price reform, none of that's happening. Nothing has been sent to the president to help those areas. And yet this impeachment, which is a sham, and the more transparency we get with actually now my constituents able to see and read the transcripts, they're finding out that it's not firsthand information. It's all hearsay. And, oh, by the way, nothing, any of the witnesses have said so far, none of them have said that the president has done anything illegal. Their only concerns that they were felt the tone, tenor, and statements that they heard from other people, generally speaking, not themselves, just didn't seem to be good. But so far what we've seen, the president did nothing illegal. If I do see something illegal, I certainly will stand in support of moving forward with impeachment. Mm-hmm. But thus far, nothing, including the transcript that he put on himself of the phone conversation, shows any illegality. All it shows is a president concerned with what Ukraine and the United States agreed to under Clinton, that they would combat together any type of corruption from the United States or from the Ukraine. And that's all that could be said about that phone conversation.
Tim, what about, I know there's some legislation up in Lansing dealing with undocumented workers here in Michigan. In fact, in your own area of beautiful downtown Tipton, there are some undocumented farm workers, in fact, many that come into Michigan. And if they don't have that capability to come in here, I guess the work doesn't get done.
You're absolutely right. And I think that's, if we go back in history, in President Trump's first year in office, he put forward a plan that would allow I think it was 1.3 million DACA recipients, which includes many of those workers you're talking about, to be here legally and have the ability to work. It didn't give a pathway to citizenship, but it gave a pathway to legality. And I supported legislation that took care of 700,000 DACA recipients, which included, again, a number of those people that are farm workers, construction workers, roofers, on down the line, where right now we have needs for those type of people. And yet the Democrats, specifically Chuck Schumer, blocked all of that at that time. And now the Democrats control the House, and none of that legislation is being put forward. I ask, why not? We saw that there was bipartisan willingness, including with the president, to deal with something that was realistic. We have to work on that, but we're not doing that because we're spending all the time on impeachment. Again, the Democrats said if they took the majority, they would fix health care. They haven't done that. They'd fix the prescription drug costs. They haven't done that. And then the immigration issue of having comprehensive immigration reform, I'm not opposed to it. But the American people have said, first tell us, show us that you've secured the border, and yet the Democrats are holding up the funds in the military appropriations budget as well as other budgets to secure the border with whatever it takes. We get that done, the American people, I think, will be in strong majority willing to look at a significant immigration reform, an immigration reform that says we will support legal immigration, and we can do that to our best interest.
Well, those Democrats are some bad, bad people, aren't they?
Not all of them. But the leadership right now, which carries the weight, and then some of the Democrats like Ocasio-Cortez, Omar, and sadly, Rashida Tlaib in our own state, are causing a blockage to take place so that even the Speaker of the House fears her position if she crosses them too significantly. And that doesn't work. Now, I serve with a number of Democrats that I can work with very well, and I think they have, though we disagree on some philosophy, I think they still have the best interests of America in mind, but they're not allowed to carry that out. Like I said, with the USMCA, I believe there are at least two members here in the Michigan delegation who are Democrats, who if the vote were taken this coming week, they would vote in favor of it, but they're not going to be given that chance.
Tim, those are freshman lawmakers. Where did all the power come from?
I don't know. And you look at some of these freshman lawmakers like Ocasio-Cortez, who has no life experience that would indicate she should have any say in what's going on. I'm not holding anything against a person who works behind the bar or a barista, but I don't think that gives her the background experience or life experience to tell the rest of Congress what to do.
But you mention her every week. I haven't heard you mention anybody else. She must be wielding some sort of power.
She seems to be in the Democrat Party, who are the majority in the House. And when you have, and I mentioned not only her, but Omar, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib. These are all the most extreme, and yet they have hamstrung a number of my Democrat colleagues by saying, if you don't go according to our Democrat socialists, and they call themselves Democrat socialists, ideals, we're going to primary you. And they're already primarying several Democrats, senior Democrats, all across the nation for standing up in what they perceive against them. And that's where the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, has to decide, is she going to do what's right for the rest of the country and the people, or is she going to be held up by this radical group that has come in? And it's not just those four names I mentioned. There are plenty of others who are lower profile but are pushing the same philosophy that is Democrat socialism. It's not even Democrat philosophy. It goes well beyond that. And that's a concern that we have, and that's why things are being held up at this point in time. And then you have Maxine Waters and Al Green and others who have been calling for impeachment since the president was elected and before he was sworn in. So you have that type of thing going on. No wonder nothing is being accomplished for the welfare of the people. We can have differences between Republicans and Democrats, but we have to do it in a way that this system says it ought to be done, and that means we take the vote. We're not having that opportunity. And then you have a kangaroo court going on for impeachment by Adam Schiff, who's not only the chairman of the committee, but he's also the judge, the prosecuting attorney, and the jury, and has already given indication that he believes this president is guilty. And how can you run an actual impeachment investigation with something like that? So. Yeah. It is busted up there right now, and I'm hoping that the American people will express their disapproval, if not soon now, at least at the coming election in 2020.
That will be entertaining, to say the least.
Well, maybe entertaining for a political scientist, but it could be concerning for an American citizen who just wants to see America continue its greatness. You stop and think about it, Greg, and we've talked about this before. We have record economy going on here. Most recently, the numbers this week showed we've got economy that is growing by leaps and bounds. We have people, African-American population, Hispanic and Asian populations who have record unemployment rates, low unemployment rates. They're working. It's working for them. The middle class income has gone up. It continues to be shown to continue to climb at a greater percentage rate than any other strata of society. All of that is good. And then we have the fact that the number of jobs available, still 7 million jobs. Sitting behind a semi-truck right now, and there are 60,000 trucks on the not on the road today that don't have a fanny in the seat because we don't have enough truck drivers. And all of this is taking place because of a good economy. Then you look at some of the other good things I think have taken place with two Supreme Court justices that have been confirmed who stand behind the Constitution. We have another 150-some federal judges that have been confirmed that stand behind the Constitution. That's a good thing for the future of this country. And yet we get caught here in a partisan political sham that's taking place and taking us away from doing the things that we could and should do. And there's plenty of legislation out there between Democrats and Republicans, myself included, that would move our country forward on the basic premises of what we need to do that aren't going anywhere. 56 subpoenas, the last I noticed, and 46 bills that have been moved from committee and to the president. That's it. And that is, I guess that probably could be almost a record in modern times of lack of success in the legislative process.
That's a lot of subpoenas.
A lot of subpoenas, and there are more and more that are coming. But we need more bills. And by this time in the last term of office, we had closing in on 200 bills that had been moved from the House, and that showed effort. But and that most of those were bipartisan because most of those ultimately became law.
Mm-hmm. Area Congressman Tim Walberg. Tim, thanks for the visit.
Good to be with you, and we'll hopefully talk to you next week and maybe have some change and movement forward.
Take care.